Forever Blue Shirts Radio.
That was the lovely voice of Mr. John-Luke Shapiro you all just heard. Welcome back to the Forever Blue Shirts Radio podcast. I am Russell Hartman. Joining me this week, the other two members of the top line, Kevin Krupe and John-Luke Shapiro. Kevin, you were just in Salem for the weekend. How was that?
Oh, it was wonderful. Very crowded. I mean, don't go there the week before Halloween because it was a lot worse than I would have thought. It was beautiful, though. The fall colors in bloom. Unfortunately, I was in Boston. And also, unfortunately, that is one of our main topics to talk about. And the Rangers look terrible against Boston.
Oh, gee. Boy.
If you do look at what Ant says, to put in perspective, though, you know, this is a Stanley Cup contending team. They really had no changes from that Stanley Cup contender. And we literally have a team that is still not figuring out who they are after 9 games, which is okay because it's a lot of young guys, a lot of new guys. But it was a massacre.
Wow, talk about getting right into it, Kevin. Jeez.
I mean, like, we have a lot of things to talk about. A lot of things happened since our last podcast.
No, absolutely.
You might as well.
Well, look, the Boston game was the perfect, I feel like, kind of litmus test for where things are at. And they were the perfect kind of expectation leveler, if I could use that phrase. I mean, look at it this way. You know, like Kevin said, like Ant has been saying on Twitter, Boston is a team that's coming off a Stanley Cup final appearance where they almost won, but St. Louis Blues were that team of destiny last year. And then they manhandled the Rangers in that second period. And most of the game, if we're being honest, the game was not as close as that score indicated by any means. And if we go back over the week, the game against the Coyotes, there were spurts of good things, but another loss, ultimately in overtime, but still a loss. With the lone bright spot this past week coming against the Buffalo Sabres, where it looked like they were starting to figure things out, but the game right after, which was against the Bruins, things came crashing right back down. JL, what have you thought of the play this week, specifically against the games against the Yotes, the Sabres, and the Bruins, and are there any positives to take from what the Rangers did this past week?
Well, considering I was at 2 out of 3 of those matchups,
Kevin,
stop.
Games.
Please, get out of here, Kevin. Okay.
I go to every single Ranger game because I'm JL.
Don't hate, Kevin. Don't hate because you ain't
just,
great.
It's a motif of,
yeah.
I was at this Ranger game. How was I?
Well, I mean, if you really want a good evaluation, it's good to get it from someone that was there, right?
But, of course, I'm sorry. I'm just jealous. That's what it is.
Yes, you are jealous, and that's not my problem. Anyways, so, you know, the Coyotes game was actually not as bad as people put it out to be. They were a little bit more pressed into their own zone for most of the game, which kind of contributes to a lot of what happened that evening. But there were definitely a lot of positives, and those positives came out in the Buffalo game when they were smooth on their breakouts, playing solid defense, moving the puck around very well. The positives, again, are just that they were a little more tenacious than they were before. They were, you know, moving the puck well at times. So the problem is that the effort wasn't consistent. The effort was consistent against Buffalo, but then when the Boston game came around, it was about the time after Zibanejad got taken out of the game. It just kind of seemed like they didn't really know what to do. So the pros are basically they're playing a little bit better. They're trying to do more with the puck. They're playing with a little more intensity. But again, the problem is that the effort is inconsistent and they allow other teams to just kind of, you know, mosey their way in and just kind of dominate. Lundqvist has been okay. I mean, he's definitely been one of the lone bright spots. And other than that, I mean, from everything that's already been shown or known, I mean, that's pretty much it.
I want to get the bleak out of the way quick. So, in addition to JL's comments, I'd like to work into this the fact that Chris Kreider has had a not-so-good start. But before we do that, JL, you said the effort doesn't look like it's always there sometimes. Would you attribute that to more of the players, or do you think this is an issue with the coaching staff, or is it a little of both?
I think it's a little mix of both. I mean, I know that obviously the players and the players definitely need to add, you know, their end of the bargain, and guys like Chris Kreider haven't exactly really done as much as they should, but you know, also part of it goes on the coaching staff. I think the coaching staff needs to just continue to find ways to get them motivated and find ways to keep that effort consistent. I mean we honestly really don't know what else to expect, but I mean, we just have to see what the coaching staff does with it. They need to hold more players accountable. They need to have other players held accountable that are not rookies and just kind of keep that accountability door that they always preach going. So I think it's a little bit on both sides, especially for a guy like Chris Kreider. I mean, he definitely has to, you know, step it up.
He just hasn't been good this year. And, you know, it's in a year where a lot of people thought Chris Kreider was going to step up and have a big year for this team, especially in a contract year where you want to make a good impression on your team and maybe potentially other teams that want to trade for you at the deadline. Because, I mean, let's not play around here. Chris Kreider's agent, I believe his name is Matt Cater, and Chris Kreider and Jeff Gordon all know where this is going. Chris Kreider is not signed. There have been no discussions, and we know where this is going to end up at the deadline, and we're looking at another Zouk situation. I was one of those people that hoping it wouldn't get to this point, but we're here. Chris Kreider needs to step his play up, and I'm not talking about some garbage time goal in a game that doesn't matter. He needs to start making an impact, and you know what? I don't know if he deserves to be a top six forward right now on this team. I think if you're really preaching accountability, if you're the coaching staff, you need to scale him back. Kevin?
Oh, no, I completely – you took the words right out of my mouth. Like, you know, we do see longer leashes for other guys, but, you know, Quinn has been pretty good about accountability when it comes to almost all of his players. You know, he's taking minutes away from other guys, but absolutely, Kreider just doesn't seem like he's been that kind of consistent player that we've seen. And just, you know, we've talked about this. We've written articles. I've written articles about why Chris Kreider should got traded last offseason. Like, not even last deadline, last offseason. Mm-hmm. That's when his value was at its highest. You know, you had an extra year of team control, and, you know, he really had a breakout year, and, you know, this was the worst case scenario. He's not playing the way he's supposed to. And do you chalk that up to just, you know, the team's not playing bad, or do you actually think it's a mindset saying, hey, look, I'm not going to be on this team anyway, so why should I try? So,
and that's a horrible mindset.
I mean, like, at least with Zouk, there was some idea of, like, oh, they're going to re-sign him, or they're going to extend him. Something along the lines of he's going to mentor these young guys. Now with Chris Kreider, cat's out of the bag. He's not on the team anymore after this. So Chris Kreider, as much as I hate to say it, just isn't part of this team, and he knows it. Like, he knows he's not on this team at all. I mean, Kevin Hayes didn't know that. That's why Kevin Hayes had such a great year last year. He didn't think he was going to get traded. He thought he was going to be on his team for the long haul, but he wasn't. And then it brings up, is this really why Hedo got called up? Or is it only because Mika Zibanejad got hurt? I mean, if Mika Zibanejad didn't get hurt, are we still begging them to, like, please call up Hedo? Please call up Hedo. I mean, it's getting out of control. Please put Lias on the second line. Please put anybody but any – just mix things around, change things up. And it's just – it sucks that an injury had to happen. It sucks that Kreider has to be terrible for this to happen. But this is the reality that the Rangers are in right now.
And reality right now is not as glowing as people would have hoped this early in the season. I mean, the team does not look good right now. They're bleeding opportunities for the other teams. Your top center is now hurt. Jesper Foss is out for undisclosed reasons. Like we've been talking about, Chris Kreider is not playing well. Like Kevin is saying, even Kevin Hayes and Matt Zuccarello at the time knew that they probably weren't going to be here, or they had some idea that they might not have been here, and they still played to this expectation. They still played, like, extremely well. And you know, for all the faults I had with Kevin Hayes when he was here, he played very well that last year. And you know what? He got the Rangers a very nice deal at the deadline. Chris Kreider right now, I don't know what team would take a chance on that at all. And I've seen the rumors for the St. Louis Blues already popping up since Vladimir Tarasenko went down. Good, take him, absolutely.
This is the chance. I mean, that's how you fill that gap immediately. Especially on a team that's been playing well.
The one prospect that I would have liked from Blues, Dominik Bach, is now Carolina Hurricanes property. But I'm sure if they would like to get a deal done, they will get a deal done. So with the recent news of Zibanejad, of course, getting knocked out of that game by Patrice Bergeron, Jesper Foss being out of the lineup for undisclosed reasons, the state of the Rangers does not look too good right now, and the underlying numbers are kind of backing that up. Credit to Twitter user Rob Luker at rluker12 for these stats. Out of 393 teams ranked since 2007 for 5v5 adjusted stats, this current Ranger team, guys, I'm telling you right now, this is not pretty. Corsi 4, they are ranked 392nd out of 393. Corsi 4 and against per 60, They're ranked 364th out of 393. For expected goals for, they're ranked 392nd out of 393. And for expected goals for and expected goals against per 60, they are ranked 271st out of 393. To give you guys some kind of to wrap that into some easy to
some good nomenclature.
Yeah, some good nomenclature. This is 14-15 Sabres level tanking bad going on right now.
Like, really, really bad. Like, I just to kind of allude to what you're saying, where it's like, that team was garbage. That team was...
That team
couldn't even score to save their life, and now... And we had the entire season to look at now. Now it's just... Big changes have to happen.
I think a lot of this is just attributed to just the team just being inexperienced. I mean, a lot of these guys haven't logged a lot of NHL minutes, and they haven't really come up with adversity yet. I mean, you know, they've gone through some things in the minor leagues, but nothing equivalent to what people go through in the NHL. And the NHL is a bigger league, more pressure you have to perform. So the struggles are different. The struggles are bigger. So a lot of these advanced numbers are coming through because, you know, you have a couple of older guys who have been around the block before, but then you also have a lot of younger guys who don't know exactly how it is to deal with adversity. So when you put all that together, you're going to get these types of numbers. And at the end of the day, it doesn't look great. And sometimes the product on the ice isn't great. But again, we just have to be patient. But the numbers don't look good because, again, a lot of these guys really haven't had the chops for it yet.
You really could compare this to the Edmonton Oilers when they were on their seems-to-be-always rebuilding stage. They have all these young guys, and even Connor McDavid, just because he's so young, he doesn't have that NHL experience, even though he is the best player in the league. They couldn't elevate his game, even with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, even with Nail Yakupov, even with all of the, even with Taylor Hall, all of these young guys that just... You can't mesh these teenagers and, like, you know, 21-year-olds together and expect something great to happen. You know, we were excited about, oh, this is the youngest team we've seen in years. It's one of the youngest teams in the NHL. They're going to play great. Which, individually, yeah, they can. But as a group, it's just, they're, like JL said, there's not enough experience. Now, does bringing Hedel and Lindgren up really solve that? I mean, obviously, we don't know yet. But things have to change. We can't keep seeing certain people on certain lines, you know. What I thought was good was spreading around the wealth with Panarin, Kako, and I think Buchnevich were all on different lines to start the Boston game. And I thought the first period was fantastic, from a statistical standpoint, of course. But it's just, you know, bringing more youth doesn't solve it, but at least it's a change of pace. At least we'll see different things. And if it doesn't amount to much, it's just we knew this was going to happen. And it comes back to tempered expectations from what we've been saying from the beginning of the season. Although that was their goal. John Davidson, that was the goal of the Rangers to make the playoffs. He did not guarantee that it was going to happen. Making it a wild card was their end goal. They weren't Stanley Cup contenders. They never said that they were going to make it far in the Stanley Cup playoffs. They were like, oh, if we make it to the playoffs, that's it. We exceeded our expectations.
No, absolutely. And, you know, with the call-ups of Hedel and Lindgren, I think they're essentially doing what everyone's been asking for them to do, you know. And I kind of said it to, you know, I think I might have said it here in the last podcast, and I think I said it privately to everyone. They're calling up these guys. I mean, I didn't think they were going to call Lindgren up, but I definitely knew Hedel was going to be here right before November. So, you know, this is what the fans want, you know. Good thing it coincides with the ideals of the Rangers. So, I mean, you know, this is good, and this is what is going to be the future. You know, I mean, we'll just have to see what happens, you know.
And in a rebuild, you know, like JL was saying, the fans have been, you know, praying for this and hoping for this. And this is a case of just letting the kids play. And this is a case where I feel like David Quinn kind of gets in his own way a little bit here. We are still rebuilding. And like Kevin said, JD did say, before the season, the goal was to make a wild card spot. That was the old ultimate goal, overarching goal. But, of course, that might not always happen, and it's not looking like that is going to happen. So they bring up Filipino and Ryan Lindgren. Filipino, who's been dominating the AHL, doing everything that's been asked of him. And Ryan Lindgren, who was extremely close to making the team out of training camp, but got beat up by Libor Hajek for that last spot. So what do these two bring? Well, Filippo, you know what you're getting. You're getting a guy who was dominating AHL competition, was playing big minutes at center, was centering Hartford's top line, playing all the top minutes, and now you stick him into a lineup that needs an injection of skill, that needs an injection of offensive power, and I think Filippo is going to fit in very nicely, especially we wish Mika Zibanejad speedy recovery, but a spot is open in the top six now for someone to grab, and hopefully that will be Filippo or, God willing, Elias Anderson, if David Quinn wants to give him a little more of an opportunity to run with the big boys during this, since Mika will be out for a few games. Now, Ryan Lindgren, I really like this because Ryan Lindgren was a guy last year that a lot of people seem to give up on. He's an AHLer, not an NHLer. We don't know if he's going to be out, this, that. But Ryan Lindgren has really impressed this year in the American Hockey League for Hartford. Hartford, number one, is 8-0-0-1. They're destroying the competition in the AHL. Lots of credit to the staff down there, including Chris Knobloch, the first-time head coach down there. Just amazing turnaround from the normal goings-on in Hartford. But this year, we've seen just everyone buying in down there. And look what's paying off. I mean, it helps that the Rangers have really kind of put a lot of time and energy this summer into Hartford. But it's great to see the coaching staff turning things around there. So Ryan Lindgren, great revelation this year. Had a great end-to-end goal earlier this season, too. That was opening a lot of eyes. Hopefully he can get some more offensive prowess to this game because he's known as kind of a stay-at-home physical defenseman, which is good, and you need those guys. But if Ryan Lindgren can really take his game to another level, which he's kind of been doing in the AHL already this year, it only benefits the team going forward. And a lot of people will point to the fact that Hedl got called up possibly because of an injury, but there are no injuries on the defense right now. And Ryan Lindgren was called up to fill in on this roster. So that means in David Quinn, Lindy Ruff, David Oliver's mind, someone on that defense is just straight up not producing like they should. So let's start with JL here. JL, who sits for Ryan Lindgren?
Brady Shea or Brendan Smith, hopefully. I want to say it can't be Hayek. I don't think they're going to do it to D'Angelo because D'Angelo's been pretty much nothing but solid. So it has to be Smith or pretty much Brady Shea. But then again, I could be wrong. So, but.
Well, Smith is a forward, so he wouldn't get taken down. So it might again, not even be
tall. Haley and McKeg weren't sent down either, so.
Well, now they have the full roster. They were playing with minus two guys, essentially.
Yeah, so.
They had 21 guys on the roster, so now they have 23, so they really don't have. They knew this was going to happen. They expected this. So obviously, if people were, you know, whining and crying about, oh, they're never going to call him up, they were planning to because they didn't fill out their roster completely.
Exactly. So I think, you know,
we're going to – tomorrow's lines at practice are really going to determine how David Quinn's going to go about these young guys. And obviously, there's going to be an initial reaction, whether it's a good one or a bad one. Regardless of that, it's just take it easy. Please, because I want to see Filippo do good. I want to see all these guys do good. I want the Rangers to score. That's more important. And I like to digress a little bit. It was 4-on-4. I don't know if you guys were watching. It was, I believe, four Rangers were down. And I think Panarin passed the puck to Shea and let up a wide-open net. And even if it wasn't wide open, even if you could say, oh, Halak was right there to stop him, why not take the shot? Why try to pass it back to the slot where Panarin is not expecting you to pass it?
Oh, yeah,
You're sitting right there. And, you know, just these small things that Shea is doing, you know, taking a penalty almost immediately in the game, just things that a veteran shouldn't be doing. A veteran should know what to do.
Just not.
And part of it is probably overthinking. Probably it's like, you know, you're not doing well, you're going to overthink your game specifically. And it's probably everybody's case at the moment. Nothing's clicking. Everybody, like, especially if you look at Kakko, he's like, I'm not playing well. I don't like the way I'm playing. I'm not enjoying playing hockey. He's probably overthinking it more than anybody else. It's just everybody's overthinking. Everybody's trying to do more than they should be instead of playing their game the way they're supposed to. And at the bottom line, you're not putting the effort that Quinn is stating. And, you know, it's a broken record at this point already in the season. Just it's still a good point. Play hockey. No one's expecting you to score 5 goals on your own. Play like you're supposed to play. Play your position, and if you think you want to do a little bit more, do it in strides. Don't do it all. Don't just go all in. Just stop. Just play like a team, please.
So you're saying that they kind of got to get out of their heads a little bit.
No, definitely. No, they're definitely in their heads.
That's a fair assessment right there. Get out of their heads.
It's just, you know, if you want to even talk about just frustration on anybody's level, just look at what Henrik Lundqvist did to David Pasternak last night. Just body check city over here. Do you see? It's like no one's down there to defend. He has to come out and take a puck. We're in a very dangerous situation. And what does he do to not get hurt? He throws the shoulder and he goes back. And then there's a penalty called. And then there's all this confusion. And then this 4-on-4 happens. So it's just small things that you notice while you watch these games. And it's just, it's not what a hockey team should be doing, at least on this level.
No, of course not. And I mean, look, with the recent call-ups of Hedel and Lindgren, I believe the Rangers are, in fact, the youngest team in the league now, if they weren't already. But now, you know, there is so much inexperience that I think that the fans need to be you need to know that it's not going to be pretty for a while. And this is when the rebuild is especially bumpy, when, you know, you have the foundation. But when you start to build up, you hit some, you know, snags. You hit some things along the way that might not, you know, you might not want to see them. You might not want to deal with them, but they're going to happen. And this is what all contenders go through on their way to the Stanley Cup. Like you'll hear in our interview with Steve, he even talks about how, you know, a year after you get a top pick, the teams just, they still don't do well. You need more than one. You need, you need the team to come together. You need cohesion. So, I mean, it's all about just letting them grow and letting these kids play and play through their mistakes. So the question is now, where does Hedel slot in and where does Ryan Lindgren slot in? And if Mika Zibanejad is out for a while and if Jesper Foss is out for a while, how does this lineup take shape? Now, this morning I tweeted out, these are the lines I would personally like to see. I'll just go through my top six. I'd like to see Panarin, Anderson, and Kako put together. I think Anderson deserves every opportunity to see what he could do with skill players. And I think Hedel deserves the opportunity as well to see what he can do with Buchnevich. And maybe Hedel and Buchnevich can get Chris Kreider going. I think that is what you should go with for now. I think that is, you know, if Zibanejad is out for a few games. And I think you need to let the horses run loose. You need to just see what they're going to do. Yes, Kev.
So, I know Elias Anderson hasn't been playing particularly great, and, you know, you could attest that to the line mates, but I wholeheartedly agree with you with this choice. It's like, why not give him a chance? What is going right at this point where you have to make the excuse, oh, no, Elias Anderson's a fourth-line player. Oh, no, Elias Anderson can only center the third line, and so on and so forth. And, you know, thanks to Zach, you know, he looked up the actual times after Zibanejad was taken out, so probably the last 40 minutes of the game, and, you know, Elias Anderson had the least amount of ice time among the rest of the centers. And it just goes to show, it's like, I get that Quinn doesn't trust him. I get that he hasn't been playing great, but what do you have to lose at this point? We know they're not good. They're second to last in points.
What do they have to lose? That's exactly it.
So just bite the bullet. And even if it's not Elias Anderson, at least let Hedel center. He's a point per game player.
I think Hedel's going to get a bigger role considering how he played in Hartford.
No, definitely, because he's producing on the Hartford level, but then it comes to the question, it's like, oh, well, Hedel's probably only also playing 20 minutes a game.
Yeah, but I think also, too, a good idea they can do is put Hedel and Anderson together. I mean, I don't see why not.
No, but at this point, just, you know, whether it's Elias or Hedel on the wing, it's just having these guys in the top six is a lot better than just burying them in the third and fourth line, which, you know, even if it does happen, still not the end of the world. It's just, it really shouldn't. Russell's, you know, he's right about letting the kids play. Everybody's right about letting the kids play.
Absolutely, 100%.
It's not a Stanley Cup season. If you don't let these guys get real minutes, you're not giving them real line mates to work with. You're not giving them NHL experience. So then you see guys like Hedel perform in the AHL with guys that are kind of at his talent level, guys that can keep up, guys that don't get gritty goals barely, like Michael Haley did last night. So, you know, you just need to give guys that could improve Elias Anderson's game, because he needs that improvement. He needs guys that are better than him to help elevate his game, to help learn, and just if him slumming it out in the fourth line isn't doing it, then just send him back down to the AHL, because that's what he's going to be better off that way.
And, you know, we can go over the bottom six decisions, but, I mean, that's beating a dead horse at this point. We know who's going to play. We know who's playing where. And, you know, it's not just the line of decisions. It's the fact that I'm sure Jeff Gordon and John Davison don't want Brendan Smith and Michael Haley playing the minutes they are. I'm sure that David Quinn probably doesn't either, but you kind of stuck with what you got until you can hopefully move on from them. And, I mean, look, is it a showcase what they're doing? Maybe. But the fact is that if they want to move on from them, and they can if they will. And that's the final thing we'll say on that, because we've talked about it a lot. Now, before we get into the week ahead and looking at what we think the Rangers will do against Tampa and Nashville, here's our interview with the Stat Boy himself, Stat Boy Steven. And as promised, welcoming back to the Forever Blue Shirts podcast is Mr. Stat Boy Steven himself. And we would like to extend, before we get to the interview, a warm and welcome happy birthday to Steve. Steve, how you feeling today, bud? How's it feel? How you feeling?
I think I felt a lot better if people wouldn't remind me about the fact that I turned 35 today. But other than that, I'm pretty good, actually. It's been an amazing day.
Great. I'm glad to hear it, man. So let's jump right into your specialty. Our European prospects are over there across the pond. And let's start with your boy, Nils Lundqvist. How has he looked this season so far? And what are the expectations that we should have for him as the season progresses?
I mean, Lundqvist has done everything you could expect from a European prospect. I mean, it's his second year after being drafted, and he's 19 years old. He's been playing on the top defensive pair for Luleå, which is one of the top teams in Sweden. He had 7 points in 6 games in the Champions Hockey League, which is like the Champions League in soccer, and 9 points in 14 games in the SHL. He has been absolutely amazing, not just on the offensive side of things, but defensively. I think if people would actually watch some Luleå games, they would be impressed with what they're seeing, because his gap control is probably his biggest asset on defense. The way he reads the play, the way he plays against these grown men. I know everyone goes on about K'Andre Miller, and I love K'Andre Miller myself. I'll be at the World Juniors in the Czech Republic in December, going to one of the games of the USA to see K'Andre Miller, and I'm excited. But what Nils Lundqvist has been doing against top opposition, like professional opponents, is nothing short of amazing. I think the Rangers are going to be very pleased with what they have on the right side of defense, with Trouba, D'Angelo, Fox, and Lundqvist in the pipeline. It's just he's like I said, he's done everything you could ask for of a right-handed defenseman who's 19 years old in the Swedish league.
Do you think that, based on what you've seen so far, that he is going to challenge for a roster spot next season?
He might challenge for the third pairing spot on the right side. And here's the thing with Lundqvist. You know, yeah, as good as he is, when it comes to drafting Europeans, you get their rights for 4 full years. He was drafted in 2018. So next year, yeah, you could sign him, but you could also decide, you know, let's keep him in Sweden for 1 more year and sign him in 2021, like they did with Tarmo Reunanen, who we'll talk about later. They signed him 3 years after drafting him, which is still, you know, early enough to not worry about losing his rights. But keeping him in his own environment is very important, because if there's one thing the Rangers have really messed up the last couple of years, it's, you know, taking their prospects out of their comfort zone, out of their own environment, and bringing them over too early, in my opinion. So keeping Lundqvist in Sweden this season and maybe even another year, I think that would be best for his career, and especially with D'Angelo and Fox and Trouba. There's no real need for him on the Rangers in 2020.
Basically let him develop, and I think that's, you know, you don't want to rush him, and if anything, it helps him more to play top pair minutes there, so that's great. It's good you brought up Tarmo Reunanen, because he is next up on our list. How has he been doing this year? I know he had a really nice showing at Traverse City, and a lot of fans were like, wow, this kid might actually turn out to be something after they finally got to watch him. What have you seen from him this year, and what are you liking about his game?
Well, last year was a bit of a weird season for him because it was the first year he actually had a top pairing role in the Finnish league after a couple of years with struggling with injuries and being on a better team, being the seventh defenseman. He was traded to Lukko, played first pair defense, defensive minutes, together with Ville Heinola, who was drafted by the Winnipeg Jets in the first round last summer. And yeah, he was great in Traverse City. He had a good camp. He played in a couple of preseason games, didn't make the cut. And as everyone knew, he had the option to go back to Finland. And I feel that it's a good thing for him to go back to Finland because he only had one full year in Finland playing as a top pair defenseman. So getting that extra year in is good for his development. And ever since he's got back, he's been playing like 25, 22, 24, 22, 23, 25 minutes. So he's a big part of their defense. And I mean, the kid's like, what, 21? Let him develop in Finland. You know, you have him under contract. Yes, his ELC burns for a year. Who cares? You know, you still have him under contract for two more years. If he comes over next summer, get him to the Finnish league as they did right now. Have him play over 20 minutes every game. Have him develop, you know, in his own environment with the people that he knows in the country where he grew up. And I think this is an underrated aspect of how to develop prospects, because we all talk about how Kravtsov, and we'll talk about this later again, we all talk about how Kravtsov used his European assignment clause to go back to Russia. Elias Andersson, after he signed his entry-level contract, went back to Sweden for a year. We have to understand that these are teenagers, or in Reunen's case, he's like early 20s. It's a big step to, you know, not only move to another country, but move to another continent. When I was 22, I moved to South Africa for work. And at age 22, I was struggling with everything. It's not just a language barrier. It's everything. It's just, you know, the customs, the way the people are. You have to make sure that, you know, you go to the right companies, you know, to even day-to-day life, you know, what supermarket do you go to for your groceries? Everything is new. Everything is different, different currency, everything. And I think fans often forget how big of a challenge it is for these young kids to move to another continent and get used to not only playing in North America, but also living there. So for Reunen to play in Finland for another year, it's only good for his development. And next year, he'll come back even a better player. And considering how close he was to making the team this year, I have no doubt in my mind that he will fight for a spot next summer. And I would put the probability of him making the team next summer, you know, barring any injuries, at 70%.
You heard it here first, everyone. I mean, look, if Reunion impresses like he did and continues to improve, I mean, it would only help the Rangers' blue line, which desperately needs some help, as we've seen early in this season. Sticking with Finland right now, it seems TPS has found another guy to put pucks into the net, and Lauri Pajuniemi has really stepped up this year, especially with his rocket of a shot on the power play. Steve, what have you liked from him this year, and is, you know, are these minutes that he's getting now, especially since Kako is now in North America, but what do you think has made him this impressive kind of player this year? How has he turned into this player?
Well, Pajuniemi is an interesting prospect. He turned only 20 last month. He was a second-year draft-eligible player last year. Age-wise, he's similar to Filip Hedl. But with TPS last season, he was kind of in the shadow of Kaapo Kakko, who I don't even have to talk about because every Ranger fan knows him. And with Kaapo Kakko leaving TPS, Pajuniemi has had an opportunity to step into this bigger role. And early on in the season, I mean, the month of September, they had a couple of games, I think four games, where he had two goals, two assists. Maybe just two goals, but in October, in nine games, he has 7 points. And for a 20-year-old playing in the Finnish Liga, to be almost a point per game player early on in the season, that's very hopeful. And the goals he scored as well, I mean, his shot is really good. He's not similar at all to Levi Aaltonen, who's another Finnish prospect, who's more of a passer. Paju Niemi is really a player that has come into his own this season so far. I hope he keeps it up, but at age 20, he still has a long way to go. But you know, the signs are there that at least he has the talent. So, and I think he was like a fifth or sixth round pick. So for the Rangers to get a player like that, a second year eligible player, same with what they did with Joey Keane. You know, you draft a player who was undrafted the year before. You use a late round pick on a guy like that who has had a little bit more time to develop. And they did it with Dominik Lakatos and Patrick Virta. It doesn't always work out, but the early signs with Joey Keane and Lauri Paajuniemi are very positive.
Yeah, and I hope it continues because, man, Paajuniemi's shot on the power play from the circle is really impressive. I mean, we've seen the highlights on Twitter, so I only hope his trajectory keeps on going up. And our final European prospect, before we get into the Kravtsov situation, is Levi Aaltonen, who you just mentioned. Makes the 420 Four Nations roster. What have you liked that you've seen from this kid this year? And the buzz around him, especially at the draft, was pretty crazy with a lot of analysts and reporters saying the Rangers might have gotten a late-round steal.
Aaltonen was, if I remember correctly, a fifth-round pick in 2019. He was projected to go late second, early third round. So him being available that late and the Rangers, you know, going all out on him with a fifth-round pick is a great sign of, you know, identifying his talent. When you get to the fifth round of the draft, you're not going to get a complete player. You're going to look for players who are elite at one of the five aspects of what you want in a hockey player. When like the top five of the NHL draft, you get a player who excels at four out of the five. Top two, you get a player who excels at all five. Second round pick, you get a player who excels at like two or maybe three out of the five. If you can get a player in a fifth round pick who is elite at one of those five aspects, in this case, Aaltonen, whose speed makes him a very dangerous player. And the comparisons have been there. You know, people have called him the Finnish Hägglund because of his speed. I think his hands are a little bit better. I think the better comparison for him is Tony Amonti in terms of overall style, not necessarily how good he will be. But getting a player that excels in that one aspect in the fifth round is great value. And Aaltonen has been playing in the junior A level, which is the under 20 level, a couple of games, and now has made the jump up to Liga. And you know, he's had some good games where the points just didn't really come. He's been playing like 12, 13, 14 minutes a game for his team. But, you know, the talent is there and you can see it. I mean, he creates plays with his speed. And a couple of days ago, he had a really good assist that I'm pretty sure everyone saw on Twitter already. And yesterday, it was actually announced that he was invited for the under-20 team for the Four Nations, which is next week, November 8th, 9th, and 10th. So.
Awesome, and we hope that Levi Aaltonen does well because, man, that kid really has a nice shot and some great speed on him. And like you said, from a pick that late, if they can get anything out of him, any type of NHL roster player, it's a successful pick. And finally, Steve, you know this player more than almost anyone else in the world. Mm-hmm. Vitaly Kravtsov exercised his European assignment clause this week and went back to Tractor for the remainder of the season. Why isn't the sky falling?
Well, first of all, because he's 19 years old. Second, because he was drafted only 1 year ago. I don't understand why people are all up in arms about this. Kravtsov signed a contract 1 year after being drafted. I've been going on about it for months that he's not NHL ready. So the decision for him was either AHL or KHL, and if you have to choose between the two as a rational person, if you're not a Rangers fan, if you just look at it from a neutral point of view, And the player can choose between playing in Hartford, you know, going to play road games, getting on a bus, making 70K a year, or playing in the KHL, making a multitude of that. I mean, what would you choose? I mean, is it really that, you know, is it really that crazy that he triggered his European assignment clause that he negotiated for with the Rangers in the first place? I'm not surprised at all that he's going back to Russia. It was either the NHL or the KHL for him. I spoke to his dad a couple of days ago, and he told me that he was just disappointed by he wasn't disappointed about, you know, the treatment in Hartford. He was disappointed about not making the team. And that's fine with me. I mean, Elias Andersson went back to Sweden when he didn't make the team in 2017, and nobody had a problem with it. Tarasenko stayed in Russia for 3 years after being drafted, and nobody had a problem with it. Kuznetsov stayed in Russia for 4 years after being drafted, and nobody talked about it at all. Malkin, and this was different because there was some contract disputes and everything, Malkin spent two full seasons in Russia after being drafted, and no one complained. Kravtsov comes over 1 year after being drafted, doesn't make the team, goes back to Russia, and Ranger fans are complaining about everything. They're complaining about the fact that he gave up. He didn't give up. It was just never, the AHL was never his decision. It was either NHL or back to Russia. That was for him, that was the goal. His goal was to make the NHL. He didn't come to North America to play in Hartford. And junior hockey players don't have this option. College players don't have this option. Once they turn pro, once they go pro, they cannot go back. Kravtsov had an option to go back, and he took advantage of it. He decided to go back, and let him go back. He's 19 years old. Why are people so up in arms about a kid that's not even old enough to buy a beer in the U.S.?
Yeah, makes sense. And, you know, thank you for kind of explaining to everyone that, you know, the sky is not falling. Vitaly will be here sooner rather than later. And honestly, I'd probably bet money on him coming back after the deadline when Chris Kreider's probably gone and the spot will open up. And, like, you know, the Rangers are rebuilding. They will have a spot for him as time goes on here. So, yeah. Steve, thanks for joining us again, man. It's always good to
talk to you. There's one more thing I want to mention. When it comes from. Yeah, because, you know, people go on and on about, you know, Kravtsov is not NHL ready, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but I'm just going to name a couple of players who played either junior or college hockey for two full years, at least, before turning pro. Matt Barzal, Mark Scheifele, Mike Hoffman, Mark Stone, Claude Giroux, Logan Couture. Just seven players off the top of my head who played 2 years of either junior or college hockey after being drafted. Did any fan ever complain about them not making the NHL after 1 year?
Not at all. And look what the kind of players they are now. So, and look, I mean, it's completely beneficial for them to stay in those kinds of leagues a little longer.
Exactly. And I'm not saying that Kravtsov will be as good as these players. All I'm saying is that the players that turned into the type of players they are today weren't NHL ready 1 year after being drafted. So I think Ranger fans just need to, you know, take a breath, sit back and relax, go through the rebuild. You know, it's going to be a rough, it's going to be a bumpy ride. Just strap in, and it's not going to be pretty, but the result is going to be hopefully pretty great. I mean, if you look at the Chicago Blackhawks 3 years before they won the Cup, the Pittsburgh Penguins 3 years before they won the Cup, and the LA Kings 3 years before they won the Cup, they were all lottery teams, even after drafting their studs. The Penguins with Crosby, the Blackhawks with Taves, the Kings with Doughty, they were still lottery teams. The Rangers adding Kaapo Kakko are not going to be magically turning into a playoff team. It's not that simple. It takes time. Ranger fans need to be patient. And not every team that goes through a rebuild will win a cup. But in my experience, every team that wins a cup has gone through a rebuild.
You heard it from the man himself. Everyone, step back from the ledge, take a breath. Kravtsov will be here, and he'll be a good player before we know it. We have to deal with these bumps as they come. Steve, happy birthday once again. Thanks for joining us, buddy. Enjoy the rest of your birthday.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
We hope you enjoyed our interview with the Stat Boy. We wish him, again, a very happy birthday. He will be traveling back to this country to see the Rangers play the Predators in Nashville this week, so we hope he has an awesome time. Speaking of the Predators, the Rangers have a tough week ahead of them, boys. We have the Tampa Bay Lightning, which will happen before this podcast is released, and we have the Nashville Predators on Saturday. Are we expecting another 0-2 week here, Kevin? What do you think?
Well, you can expect at least a 1-1 week. I mean, that's the best case scenario, really. But, you know, going back to the Buffalo game, and, you know, we saw this with the Rangers when they were contenders. They would always underestimate those teams like Buffalo, like Edmonton, you know, like Ottawa, you know, who weren't good teams. And they got completely destroyed. You know, we start our backup. You know, we're giving other guys more minutes and, you know, they jump them, they pounce them, and then we're on our heels the whole entire game. And that's what happened with Buffalo. Now, are the Lightning and the Predators going to make that same mistake? It's possible. You know, they want to save their better goaltenders for, you know, more favorable matchups. This is an easy thing for them. If you're looking at it the other way, the Rangers aren't a threat. Their lines are in shambles. They're one of the worst teams in the league, statistically, and, you know, by points. And, you know, it could go one of two ways. The Rangers can pull what they did with Buffalo and completely dominate the Lightning, or they could just, like always, get destroyed by them. It's just, it's hard to argue with Steven Stamkos, Nikita Kucherov, and company.
And a resurgent Kevin Shattenkirk, who's home.
Oh, no.
Can't wait for that. That's going to be fun.
But don't worry. Did Jimmy VC end up scoring on the Rangers?
No, he did not.
Okay,
did not.
Well, you know, maybe that curse is broken, but we know Kevin Shattenkirk's going to take a slapper from the point on a power play, and it's like stick it to us. It's like, this is what you get.
And you know he's going to celebrate like crazy when he scores it. You know that, right?
Oh, absolutely.
100%. I mean,
Kevin, I like that you brought up the trap game, because the Rangers are that team that teams have to worry about for being the trap game now. And I mean, for all the faults that they have, you still have guys like, you have our game breaker in Artemi Panarin. You have a budding game breaker in Kaapo Kakko that can make you pay if they have some space. And credit to Twitter user Kevin Meiselman at Kev_Meiselman. Ozone puck possession per game this year, the average this year, the highest in the league, is Artemi Panarin with 1:07. Pretty good, you know? I mean, that's topping Jack Eichel.
Dominant he is. That's
higher than McDavid, higher than Barzell. That's just showing the kind of player this guy is and why he's worth the $11.6 million.
No, he's definitely worth it. There's no question about that at this point. It's just, it sucks that the guys around him aren't performing besides Mika Zibanejad. So it's really, I think this game, even though they are playing Tampa Bay, is more important than what they've already done, because it's like, how can they perform when they know they're not going to have their number one center? Can these guys step up? And is it just going to be the Artemi Panarin show? Which, don't get me wrong, I love. It's just, you can't have a one-trick pony like that.
No, you can't. We saw that with Marian Gaborik. We saw that with Rick Nash. It doesn't work to have the one offensive star. And, you know, you want to see Kakko have one of these, like, quote-unquote breakout games that people are waiting for. You want to see, like, the 2-goal, 1-assist game. You want to see, like, the 1-goal, 3-assist. You want to see the breakout. Well, clearly what's happened already is not working. So back to the point about playing with the young guys, maybe Hiedler Anderson can help Kakko get going. Maybe the young guys will find some kind of chemistry together this week, which will be really nice to see. JL, as Kevin said before, the Rangers are that trap team now for the Tampa Bay Lightning, for these types of contenders, and Predators included. Do you think we'll see a better effort from them this week? And do you think that the additions of Hiedl and Lindgren will be a nice injection of youth into this lineup that is now the youngest lineup in the league?
Oh, absolutely, without a doubt. You have to think that after that humiliating loss the other night, that they're going to have to, you know, they're going to have to play better, and they're going to have to, you know, put in a better, stronger, consistent effort. Because at the end of the day, these guys are professionals, and, you know, this will be a litmus test on how well they can come back from adversity. And if they end up making a strong push to, you know, win the next game, then it shows a lot and it says a lot about the team. So I think they'll come back with a better effort. They'll be a little more organized. You know, they've had a day to pretty much recoup themselves, but, you know, we'll just have to see. I think they'll have a better effort. I don't know what's going to happen, but I think the effort will be a lot better. And, you know, by the time this podcast comes out, you know, people will have a better idea.
So basically what we're all hoping for here, like Chael said, is just the better effort. I just, like, even if this team loses, I want to see the effort there. We all want to see them at least firing on all cylinders. Remember, fast, physical, relentless is their slogan now. Let's see that again. Even if we don't see the wins, I want
to just keep up.
Contenders. Keep up, exactly.
Like, look,
exactly.
It's one thing to kind of get outscored 5-2. You know, that could happen in an instant where you're down 3-2 in the third period, you let up a bad goal, then you let up an empty net, you lose 5-2. Not the end of the world. But when you're losing these games where you're getting garbage goals in the third period and it's just not the same, where you're getting bodied by guys when you're on the power play and guys like Bergeron and Brad Marchand are coming up the other way on the ice and just completely dominating you, it's not a good look. And, you know, I get that they were playing with less guys on their lineup, you know, they had to fill positions, but it's not looking good. And Quinn, just going back to the effort, yeah, it stems down to that. I agree with him 100%. If you're not giving any effort, you shouldn't be playing. That goes for everybody. You could go for Jacob Trouba, it go for Henrik Lundqvist, it can go for Jesper Fast and Elias Anderson. Just put in the minutes, put in whatever ice time you're getting, and just be like, that's it. This is my role. I'm on whatever line, and I'm going to produce the way I'm supposed to. I'm going to win these faceoffs. And outside of Mika Zibanejad, no one's winning faceoffs.
No, not at all.
No one's talking about.
To improve, which I think Filipino will help, though, because I think
which is good. It's just, you know, I don't know. It's just it really is everything going bad at this time. But you know, the one shining grace in this situation is you can only go up from here. I mean, I don't know how much worse it could really get.
It all depends on when, Kevin.
Statistically wise. But, you know, maybe after this week, maybe they're going to have a wake-up call. Maybe a nice road trip might solve this. You know, they might be, you know, not bonding yet. They just had five home. Yesterday will be the fifth home game in a row for them. And, you know, who's to say that they do anything outside of play these games and go to practices? So, you know, maybe
they need to bond, is what you're saying.
Yeah, no,
they
definitely. Have
that bonding experience. Yes, I agree. And, you know, for all my qualms with David Quinn, you know, Kevin kind of nailed it right there when he said that you just want to see guys put in the effort. And skill, you need skill to win games, and skill is still the top thing that you need to win in the NHL.
Absolutely.
But you need your skill guys to show that effort to win these games. And that is what it boils down to. Now, I know people are taking Quinn's kind of comments kind of crazy, making it seem like he doesn't want his skill guys to play with the skill. But, you know, to that I say, look at what Artemi Panarin's been doing this year. Do you think Artemi Panarin is not using his skill to score the goals that he's scoring, to set up the plays that he's doing? Do you think he's just bashing on the boards? No. He's doing what he does, and he's using his strengths, and he is one of the best players on the team because of his effort this year. So, I mean, if the rest of the team follows suit, I think we'll be a lot happier as the year goes on.
And the good part about that is that these guys have the skill to do it. That's the silver lining.
That's the thing that pisses me off the most.
It's the silver lining, and it's also the one that gets everybody upset.
No, because these guys are good. This team has the potential to be very, very good, and that's why everybody's upset. If you really want to boil it down, everybody's upset because we all know they can do better.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's it. That's literally it. We know we could win all of these games. We know if, you know, one bad defensive play or one missed goal or one missed call changes the entirety of the rest of the game, then we know we win these. But, you know, it's frustrating. That's more than anything else. If we were a bad team, if we had no superstar, if we had no all-star goaltenders or good defense, then it's one thing. Then we could say, okay, they suck. They're bad. And we know this.
But that's not the case.
Suck. They don't suck on paper. They just suck statistically, and they suck as a unit, and they need to collectively bring this greatness together instead of just being pieces of a puzzle that just don't fit together.
I think that's a good way to put it. Pieces of the puzzle that don't fit together, they need to learn how to fit together. And that is honestly what this year is all about, is figuring out how they really do fit together. And the final word from the three of us tonight will be the Vitaly Kravtsov situation.
Ah, yes.
And
oh, boy.
I was waiting.
Like Steve said in his interview when we spoke to him before, the sky is not falling. Vitaly Kravtsov and the Rangers had in his deal that he had his European assignment clause and he could go back if he chose to. He decided to go back to Tractor this week. The point I want to make, I'm sure the guys will have other points they would like to make, but the point I want to make here is that I think we see him back after the NHL trade deadline. I think once Chris Kreider moves on, I think once there is a spot open in the top six, I think after he kind of gets his confidence back and has a good year again for Tractor, Vitaly Kravtsov will be on the main roster. I don't think they particularly care if they burn a year off his ELC because I think they're hopefully planning to anyway. So I think we see Vitaly Kravtsov back in North America by late February, early March. JL, what are your thoughts on the situation? Just to give a last thought about Vitaly Kravtsov.
Some people were saying the Rangers mishandled it. I think with a lot of the translations that come out with his interview recently and just the way things have transpired, I think they've handled it admirably because he was unhappy here. Clearly he was unhappy here and the Rangers want him here. He wants to be there, but even they know that they just couldn't fit him in there. Are there things in his game that he could work on? Absolutely. That goes to say, the other players on this team that are already there don't have things to work on. They do have things to work on. But again, they wanted him for top minutes, like top 6 minutes, which they don't have, and they didn't want to bury him. So he wants to play top minutes somewhere and feel more comfortable, then he can hone his craft in the KHL. They negotiated that European out clause for this reason, because it was expected that he was going to make the club. So I think they handled it admirably. I think the internet tends to take things and twist things that they don't seem to be too informed on. And I personally think, like you said, he'll be back here before the trade deadline once his season's over, and he'll just slot in once a Kreider or even a Strome will be gone, and you know, by that time hopefully the other young kids will play as well.
Kev, last word of the night goes to you.
Ooh, I feel so honored. I'm sure Steve mentioned this, and I'm sure many other people mentioned this, but if Vitaly Kravtsov elected to stay in Russia to start this year, we wouldn't be having this conversation. Nikita Kucherov did it. I believe Vladimir Tarasenko also did it.
So did Evgeny Kuznetsov.
So did Evgeny Kuznetsov, thank you. And, you know, just because Kravtsov thought he can come in, and which, by all rights, he could have taken a spot away. He played, you know, well enough where if that was the case, then he'd be happy, but that wasn't. He got sent to the AHL. He wasn't happy. He got scratched. You know, whatever happened, happened. It's over now, but now he's back in the KHL, playing big minutes for a team that he's used to. And look, we never take this human element into perspective because, you know, we don't want to. And, you know, stats say one thing, but you don't want to imagine how they're actually feeling because you can't quantify that. Vitaly Kravtsov was definitely unhappy being here. You know, he didn't have that many friends here. He was still getting adjusted to the New York life, which it's hard. It's overwhelming. I don't know if, you know, we live here. I don't know if you are listening and you don't. It's very hectic all the time, every day, no matter what day it is throughout the year. It is very overwhelming. And I've lived here my entire life. So I don't know, with someone who barely speaks the language and is trying to learn it and comes here and tries to live here without knowing anybody, it's hard. So he went back to something he wanted to do. He's happy there. He'll improve on his game on top line minutes, help Tractor hopefully get to a playoff position, or who knows, maybe he'll just score unbelievable amounts of goals for the team again. So we'll see. It's just take it easy, please. Everybody, deep breath.
Step away from the launch. Take it easy.
It's
the end of the world. It's hockey. It comes and goes every season, whether you like it or not. And the Rangers, it's just not their year. We knew it wasn't their year. If you had any notion that it was their year, I'm sorry. You were wrong, but, you know, we just got to hope for better hockey. We just got to hope it's entertaining. But, you know, it's going to be fun watching these guys get better and better throughout the year. And I'm going to be excited when they trade certain people away. I'm going to be excited when certain guys play certain minutes. And I'm going to be excited when Vitaly Kravtsov comes back in February or
so basically
March.
What Kevin is telling you guys is enjoy the ride. Because
please, please.
Boom.
There's no stress to it. If you go in knowing that they might not win, it's so much better.
Absolutely. And guys, remember, 2020 is a loaded draft. And the big seven are there. And if the Rangers continue, what's going on? Yes. As you hear Kevin whisper and Jael whisper,
Raymond,
the big seven are there at the top, as I like to call them. The big seven do consist of, as they're whispering in the background, Alexi Lafreniere, Quentin Byfield, Lucas Raymond, Noel Gundler, Alexander Holtz, Anton Lundell, and Jamie Drysdale, as I like to call them. Of course, one defenseman out of the bunch, but man, trust me, everyone that's listening. If the season does trend down that way, adding one of those guys would be fantastic. So with that being
fantastic.
Let's hope that next season we're talking to you, we're talking about some good efforts against the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Nashville Predators. And as always, let's go Rangers!